Hey, 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 vroom, 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 vroom.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Bad Film Kid.
I love family.
The podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this bad film suitable for family?
It's good. It's not quite low enough.
My name is
I'll have to put a voice modulator on it.
What's your name, family?
Did you introduce it? I couldn't really
can
tell.
Can you understand what I'm saying?
Vaguely, which we'll get into why that's relevant.
Yeah, okay.
that's very on brand.
What's your name, Aiden?
I'm Fast and the Aiden Furious Tokyo Drift.
You're a furious Aiden who's moving at a fast pace.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Today, we are going to be looking at Fast X.
Mm. Now, we should... well, I'll preface this now. This is a review. So, like, I am aware that lots of people love this film franchise and have, like... Maybe not love, but they've seen them all. This is a review from two people that have seen... I have seen the first one, the second one, whichever the one where Paul Walker dies in real life and it's sad.
Seven.
Seven.
I think, yeah.
And then I saw this.
So you have more knowledge than me.
And I'm the lore guy in this.
Yeah.
So take this review with a pinch of salt, but that's what we're looking at today.
I would say that I am coming from a place of no context because I've only seen the first film and then this one. So I'm missing a solid 8 movies in between. But when I was sort of chatting about it with people like at work and stuff, then they'd be like, oh, this character's this thing or blah, blah, or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I do know more than I've seen, I think. But we'll get into it.
But, you know, we'll get into it. The point is that we are watching this film with very little context.
Yeah.
Deliberately. To see how hilarious it is.
Yeah.
And obviously, pretty much... from any point onwards, there can be spoilers.
Yes.
And there will be spoilers when we properly get into it.
Absolutely.
So,
even though
letting you
the only things that really are spoiled are the very last 10 minutes of the film. But we'll get into it.
Yeah, most of it's in the trailers anyway.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I'd like to share with you a shockingly good article.
Okay.
And by shrekkingly good, I mean the most vague... Oh, shit, my window's been open this whole time. Let me just close that.
I wouldn't have even noticed. Your microphone probably did.
It's because I could hear a bird cheeping, and I was like, where's that bird coming from? That's nice.
I mean, honestly, it could come from us, because we're pretty sure we've got birds literally just, like, right outside the window, like, above, like, nestled in somewhere up above.
You know what?
It drives
those birds, the family, the family.
They own the house, then they're part of the family. They were the villain in the last film, but this film, they're the family.
This is an article from Insider, and it's the most vague relevance to Shrek ever, I will say that. And it says, angry Google employees are mocking CEO Sundar Pichai's pay hike with memes, including one of the Shrek villain, say reports.
What? The Shrek villain?
The Shrek... One of the Shrek villain. some Google employees aren't happy about Sundar's... a $226 million paycheck. Wow. What a guy.
What the fuck?
Memes targeting the executives' pay have been posted on Google's internal forums, CNBC reported. One meme compared Pichet, there we go, that'll do, to Shrek, to the Shrek villain, Lord Farquaad, per the outlet. And then there is there's a whole article about this guy. So he's taken a $226 million annual salary whilst laying off 12,000 Googlers, cutting perks and destroying morale in and culture. Google laid off around 12,000 workers, or about 6% of its global workforce in January. At the time, Peaches said he took full responsibility for the decisions that led us here, as the company had hired for a different economic reality than the one we face today. Since then, the company has continued to cut back on its infamous perks. His pay packet was boosted last year due to stock awards worth $218 million. According to court filings, the executive was paid $226 million in 2022. And yeah, there's what not really prick. Anything. What a prick. But what I thought was funny is if I threw this in because they said the word Shrek meme. <There's> literally.
That's it.
One meme showed Lord Farquaad from Shrek quoting his infamous line, "Some of you may die, but that is a sacrifice I am willing to make." That is the only reference to Shrek in this article.
That's it, yeah.
You're welcome. I wanted to do a quick one because I'm so hyped to talk about Fast and Furious.
Well, let's before we get into Fast and Furious, I just want to talk a little bit more about that Shrek thing.
No.
Genuinely though, it is funny to see like that Lord Farquaad meme. I first saw it being used like actually as with kind of current events to do with COVID when fucking Boris Johnson.
Don't get me bloody started.
When he was like, "Oh well, yes, you see, I think that we should use herd mentality,
you know,
we should give the virus to, you know, everyone, and well, you know, some people will die, but that is a sacrifice I am willing to make."
You know, some of they may die, but it's a sacrifice that I am willing to make.
Anyway, who wants to go and have a COVID party?
Anyway,
at number 10.
Yes. So now that's over. Yes. What I was thinking was we could have a fucking lit time at number 10. All invited, no masks required.
Pass me the, you know, the bong and suck me off.
I've got a lashing idea, lad. What we'll do is we'll raise interest rate, and at the same time what we'll do is we'll just get fucking sloshed.
That was like dubstep Boris Johnson. We'll do
drop the bass.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, let's
actually get into it since you're so I'm excited.
Fucking hyped.
Aiden, I will give you the opportunity now to go into it and we can talk about it. We can talk about the film,
look,
all sorts of things.
I've got my notepad here.
No, Aiden, it's don't worry. All right. I will give you full access, full reign to just talk about this thing that we are going to talk about, this film, Fast and Furious X. And I'm not going to interrupt you anymore. I'm just going to give you time to talk about it, to really get yourself stuck in.
Well, it looks like we're out of time. Well, Aiden, so, thanks honestly, for listening.
Stupid. Well, I mean, yeah, before you say anything, we saw this one in the cinema, obviously, because it's still in the cinema. I didn't actually pull up, do you know what, I'll do it now quickly, and just spend a little bit more of Aiden's time before he can...
Well, while you do that, let me run through the titles of every Fast and Furious film in this franchise, because I think that's worth noting, just how pure genius this film franchise is, right? There's The Fast and the Furious, then there's Too Fast, Too Furious. Then the third one came out, and that was The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, Notorious. So they had three films about car racing, and then they were like, I mean, we could
let's
just
kick
have
it up
them.
Again.
Yes, kick it up again. Let's do something wild. And they came out with Fast and Furious. Then they were like, fuck it, let's just go mental and cars are magic now in Fast 5. Then they did Fast and Furious 6. Then Furious 7, which sounds more like a Western film that Quentin Tarantino would make.
I was about to say a Tarantino film, the prequel to Hateful Eight.
Yeah, yeah. And then the eighth one was The Fate of the Furious, and you best believe that The Fate is also an eight. Then the one before this was F9, and then they've gone back. They've done Fast X. I cannot wait to see what the next one is called. All bets are off, mate. They could do anything.
That is true. I mean, we know that Fast X, quote unquote, is going to be like either a duo or a trilogy of films.
I have a theory about that.
They might literally just be like Fast X Part 2.
I have a theory about that, but I don't think it will be. We'll get into that later. But let me pull up...
Wait, you don't think it will be a trilogy, or just...
I don't think it will be... I'll get into it now. I don't think that it's going to be Fast X Part 2, Part 3. I think it will be Fast...
Y and Z.
Oh, my God. Oh, they so could do that. Yeah, maybe they'll just fucking do that.
I can't believe I just said Z. I mean, it's an American film, which is why I said it, but... What? Sorry, Zed. Jesus.
No, it will be Z. It will be Z E E. So it will be Z.
Oh yeah. One word, Fast.
And
Z.
Y, it will be X Y as in the word Y, and then Z. But yeah, I don't think it's that, because it's less of a. It's less of a. You know how Endgame was like Part 1, Part 2, like, It really ended on like a not just a cliffhanger, just like a really poignancy. It was shocking, and then it kind of like it was a well.
It was like that's it, we lost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like a big moment. Whereas this was just like it finished. That's the end. We'll pick it up next time.
Yeah.
But right, let me... I didn't do the thing.
Give us some info.
So it was made this year, 2023, directed by Louis Leterrier. Obviously, as we've discussed many times, Justin Lin was the director. And then after week one, he quit.
He directed...
He's other directed ones. Some of the other ones, right. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what happened with...
Ooh!
Insert clip now.
What do you think, Justin?
Week one. Just finished week one.
How does it feel?
Feels like the beginning of an epic ending.
Is it fair to say that this will be the best one?
In my heart, yes.
Also, reportedly, Vin Diesel, like, doesn't want to work with about half of this cast, which I'm about to say, which is also very funny. But it stars...
Really? I didn't
yeah, that. Yeah. Which makes sense why he's just off on his own talking to no one for most of this film. But it stars Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese Gibson, Christopher Ludacris Bridges, John Cena, Natalie Emmanuel, Jordana Brewster, Sun Kang, who I've met, by the way, Scott Eastwood, we'll get to that, Steve Buscemi, Daniela Melchior, Alan Richardson, Richson, Helen Mirren, Brie Larson, Rita Monero, Jason Statham, Jason Momoa, and Charlize Theron.
All the Jasons.
It had a budget of $340 million, which is surprising considering some of the scenes.
It's kind of weird nowadays where, like, because of the Avengers films, and not just the Avengers films, like, just Marvel films in general, because some of the other ones are also, like, quite high budget. You said $340 million, and I was like, oh, that's not that. It's not that much. But, like, yes, it is. It's a fucking huge amount of money.
Even for films. That's big for films. And considering how bad some of the CGI is in this, it's very impressive. I mean, look at that fucking cast list. That's where all the budget's gone, really. And it's made currently $343 million, which isn't great. But then I did look up previously, and because I was baffled as to why they've made 10 of these. And that none of these do that well domestically, but they're China. They own China, and the box office for China is always huge. Like, China fucking eats these up. They love it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So that we because like you see that and you're like, oh shit. Well, that makes so much more sense. Like, as to why Vin Diesel's been allowed to
continue as long as he has.
Because it's like, so for example, F9, the domestic gross and so US and Canada is 173 million, but worldwide gross was 726 million. So China's just like, hell yeah, baby, we're all about these cars flying through the air.
Eat that up.
Yeah, let's go to space. Woo! right, let's fucking get into it.
Right, yeah.
So
Aiden will sort of take the lead a little in terms of specific notes, because he actually sat there in the cinema with a fucking pen and paper.
Yeah,
which is like quite a real funny professional.
Because obviously it was dark as well. I don't know how they do it. It was dark, so some of the words I've written are over the top of the other words that I've written.
Perfect.
We'll see how this goes.
Aiden's going to jog my memory a lot with a few of these, because I saw it before he did. So
yeah, so the film opens, and I was like, as soon as it started, I was like, it took me a few minutes, and I was like, is this now? Or is this a flashback? Because I haven't seen this film that they're using this from. And what they're doing is they've got Paul Walker and Vin Diesel. So,
how long after seeing Paul Walker did you guess that it was not now?
Well, no, because I have no idea. I was like, are they just using him? Like, because I know his brother is a body double. For him in these films. So I was like, is he just in these now? Did they continue this and he just doesn't speak? Or like, what's the vibe here? I'm lost.
So I was kind of thinking like whether they were going to do that, but then like just seeing him a couple times, I was like, no, that it's way too realistic. Like it would have looked slightly off if
definitely.
You know, it was definitely just him.
But yeah, so they've got their two cars, Vin Diesel's magic Dodge Charger and Paul Walker's other car, and they're dragging a giant safe across a city, killing thousands in their path, destroying, doing millions, if not billions, worth of damage, whilst being chased. And then it rolls or something, and someone dies, and so, Jason Momoa is pissed about it.
Yeah, pretty much. It's from, like, Fast 6 or something, around that time. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you, the people who know it are like, oh, I remember this. This was from this film. And it's like, ah, but what you didn't know was that these characters were there at the time. And now this is their, you know, this is Jason Momoa's kind of villain origin story, even though apparently he was a bit fucked up before that, I guess. And yeah, it's Jason Momoa's dad who was like a corrupt, super corrupt cop that they... fucking killed with this giant safe that they were rolling around.
And Jason Momoa's pissed about it.
Yeah.
They say, like, they do the thing where... I keep wanting to call everyone Jason Momoa. No, Vin Diesel, Dom Toretto, is like... Right. He somehow deattaches Paul Walker's car from the safe or something. He's like, you go, I got this. And then Paul Walker goes like, that's not part of the plan. And then Vin Diesel says the line, it was always the plan. And I was like, yes, yes, I'm in. I'm strapped in for this. I'm so happy.
already there, like in it.
Yeah, so we get that, and then it's like, present day, like, slapped across the screen, which,
Oh, they do, they love they doing keep, that in this film. Yeah,
they love it, and it did, I will admit, I liked it a lot, because it's like bad clip art, or it looks like freetext.org that you Google, type in cool text, and it's like the stonewash one, and it's just like massive across the screen. They'll be like, Rome! Or it'll be like, Antarctica! And it's just like...
Landon!
Yeah. So we get like, it's like, present day! And then there's, then we see Dom's Dodge Charger doing drifts in a car park for no reason. And I was like, cool, alright, I guess, he's practicing or something. But then we see...
What I do know about that is that it's apparently a homage to the first film where he's doing that, or not him, but Brian, I think. Paul Walker's character is doing that in the first film. He's just zipping around.
But there's that's a lot so of that specific. In this, apparently. I feel like that even if you're like not...
Because it's
that...
cutting between that and the chase, I think, maybe? I can't remember.
I don't know. But it's like, even if you're not, I feel like you have to be versed in these to know that. Because there's been 10 of these. Like, how, like, if you're not that fussed about these, but you've seen every one, how are you going to remember that? That you're like,
unless you've watched them again recently,
Yeah. It's just like, man, it's fucking stupid. But it's not Vin Diesel.
No, it isn't.
His 8-year-old son.
I know.
That Vin Diesel's like... Vin Diesel's like, oh, sonny, you gotta learn to drive. And then the kid's like, I wanna play Minecraft and Roblox. He's like, no, you gotta drift around because of family. It was
his
just
kid's
wild.
Like going through his like YouTube phase, wanting to like... watch fucking stupid brain dead kid Minecraft videos. Like, Jesus Christ, I've seen them come up before where it's like top 10 mysteries never solved in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And then it's just like some bullshit they've made up.
Hell yeah. But what? But the real question is, what happened? I've seen those, and I'm like still baffled. Like Steve from Minecraft had an ex-wife. Did you hear about this? And no one knows what happens to her.
Jeez. Yeah. How deep does the lore go? Got to keep pretty digging.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. But then she came back, and she was like, "I'm alive again." And he's like, "Oh, I already married someone else." And she's like, "Don't worry about it." And he's like, "Okay." And they go drift cars for the government or something.
I feel like this is steering, get it?
Hey!
Away from Minecraft. Let's just talk about Minecraft for the rest of the...
quick note on the first time we see Dom Toretto, he's wearing a shirt that says Toretto on it. So you know who he is.
Yeah, no, I think that's so that he knows who he is.
Yeah. Who am I?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm Dom Toretto.
Probably because he's, like, been in so many car crashes and impacts that it's just caused him to have, like, extreme brain injury.
Yeah, it was quite good because later on, I think it's something like his dad was a racer or something, because you see a helmet that says Toretto and then there's like an old picture of a racer. Like,
yeah, I think 50s. He was.
But I was like, if that's the case, why are you wearing, that's not like an old shirt, that's a new mechanic shirt that says Toretto on it. So you've had that made. Like, I guess it's a homage.
So that he doesn't forget who he is.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that. But man, like, so they go there. I mean, look, fuck it. I'll just run through a quick breakdown of the plot and then we could just talk about the whole thing. Because, so he goes there. Tyrese is like, "I'm going to do a mission. I found this mission. It's in Rome. And I'm going to take the funny team with me." And Dom Toretto's like, "You go do the team." It's so
they all work for like some government. Is it like
a vague
government branch?
It's just called the agency.
Yeah.
It's like, what
couldn't
are we doing?
Be more.
Don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So they
steal something, probably.
Yeah. So they go on a mission to Rome, and it's all very funny. Ludacris and Tyrese are very funny. And by very funny, I mean the jokes in this are just fucking awful. It's so unfunny. It's hilarious. So they go to Rome, and then Dom's like, "Where are the guys?" And then, oh no, someone's like, "Oh, where are the guys?" or something. And he's like, "Oh, they're in Rome." And then the guy's like, "We never had a mission in Rome." And it turns out that Jason Momoa has set them up to get to Rome, so that this is the thing. Jason Momoa is some sort of like wizard that can tell the future, because his plan was to get Tyrese to take this mission onto Rome, and then they realize that it's a fake mission. So then Dom and everyone else goes to Rome, so that Jason Momoa can blow them up in Rome.
No, I don't think he's trying to blow them up. He's just trying to blow up.
Oh,
I think
he wants to kill Dom.
Well, yeah, no, but there's this whole thing where he's like, it's this saying that his dad said to him, like, not long before he fucking got crushed by 10-ton safe, where he was like, you know, never accept death when suffering is owed, or whatever.
Oh, so he's like. So he's like,
I don't want to kill Dom straight away. I want to make him suffer by, like, killing everyone else around him and framing him for blowing up the Vatican and...
Oh, yeah, 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 that's
taking all his money and taking a shit on his face.
Yeah, which would be hot.
Yeah, because that's your thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Was it? I don't remember.
Let's say yes.
Yeah, and yours was piss? Or maybe it's the other way around.
No, both of them were yours, I think.
No, I think yours... Actually, I remember yours were that, but much worse, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure that it was all
you. I'm pretty sure yours
were
worse. Yours were the worst one. But anyway, scat and piss aside.
Scabbity Bat, of course.
No, it was you, because you started scatting on the
No. Let's just move on, all right?
So Jason Momoa has released a giant rolling flaming bomb in the streets of Rome. Mm. And they're like, oh my god, it's a giant flaming ball of fire. We gotta stop it. And Dom's plan is to just drive into it with his car. I was like, you fucking kidding
me. So, this is the first, like, big sequence of this where, like, I was very aware of the fact that the Fast and Furious films had kind of reached a point where they were just doing the most ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, and honestly, some of the stuff I'd seen from the other films kind of made me feel like this one, even this one was a little bit tamer.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, you've got this giant, he's like, it's in a truck, and it's just this weird thing of like, they're doing the job, they infiltrate the truck, and then the two characters that do that get locked inside the truck, like Ludacris and the other lady. They get locked inside the truck, and they're like, we can't get out, and then, bloody, you see Jason Momoa on some building somewhere operating everything remotely and then acting like a nut job, because he's this kind of character, which I enjoyed it, but it is that kind of weird thing where like he is just completely off the chain. He's just like, he'll just stand there and go, all right, what was that did you say? Oh, you want to blow up the Vatican? Oh man, you're a special kind of evil, huh? Who would want to do that? And the guy stood there like white as a sheet, just kind of not answering, because he doesn't want to be shot in the face. And then he's just like, poof, tickle my asshole, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, he's just kind of super all over the place and whatever. But yeah, because then there's a bit where they're finding a way to stop the truck, and then he's like, okay, stop the truck, then I'll just open the back thing and release the ball, the bomb that's a giant ball in, for some reason, in the truck. And
but he must
then
have
this giant
for
ball
that.
Starts. Yeah, he must have planned. He must have been like, I mean, maybe he's operating off this thing of somehow Don Toretto and co seem to be able to just use cars to do anything, so I've got to have multiple layers to this plan.
He would have had to be the layers and layers that this guy goes to.
I know. I mean, because he would have had to prep everything in advance. This film takes place over. There's not, as far as I remember, there isn't any like time jumps or anything. So everything that he did in this, which was nuts, he'd already planned.
I guess so. It's fucking amazing.
Up to the
end
very end.
Sequence is just absolutely
bananas.
So good.
Yeah, he wants to roll the ball through Rome, which, by the way, so their solution is, well, we can't stop the bomb because it's this giant ball and it keeps rolling, even though they stopped it, and then I can't remember what happens, but like it gets kind of just pushed enough so that it starts rolling just off of the edge that it stopped on and down some stairs, and that just gives it all the momentum to just carry on rolling. So they're like, we can't stop it. We've got to like redirect it into the river, because the river, and it's the bullshit science thing where she's like, it's this kind of, because like Ludacris looks at the bomb and he's like, it's exactly this kind of bomb. I was like,
they say,
how have you ever seen
bomb?
Yeah, how have you ever seen a bomb like that ever? You know,
yeah,
how do you know what's inside that?
Like,
it's just silly.
It's like, this is why it's mental that Jason Momoa has planned this. But like, it's wild because he's designed this, or he's got someone to design this, that it's like rolling on fire without setting the bomb off. Like that, it's not. Because at first I was like, this bomb's caught on, it's like slowly exploding or something, because it's just on fire for no reason.
It gets set on fire by something. I think the police car blows up or something.
No, Jason Momoa says like, Oh, because the reason he's done that, as he explains to Dom, he's like, I did that because it was a homage to when you rolled that giant safe through the street and killed my dad. And then he says the line, but obviously I added a flare. I thought the fire was a knight's touch.
I think that, yeah, but I just thought that was him being like, because he's crazy and that just like happened. So he just rolled with it and was like, ooh,
but why would it stay on fire the whole time?
Oh, because it's a movie and it's dumb.
Nah, I think he designed it.
I don't know, because I can't remember what it was that set it on fire. I thought it was the police car like blowing up or something, but something like set it on fire. Maybe he already planned for that, but I don't know. But yeah, so the whole thing is that he wants to blow up the Vatican, and they kind of, she's like, if we submerge it, then it will dampen the explosion by about 10 times. I was like, huh?
Yeah, but what's also hilarious okay. about that is because he says it's a neutron bomb, a neutron bomb is, I've just looked it up. A neutron bomb, officially defined as a type of enhanced radiation weapon, is a low-yield thermonuclear weapon designed to maximize lethal neutron radiation in the immediate vicinity. So regardless of whether you reduce the explosion by 10 times, everyone in Rome is dead from radiation poisoning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, farewell to the Vatican.
Yeah.
You know, can't house those pedos no more.
Yeah, but, yeah. Oh, they'll find a way.
Yeah,
they'll get. We'll get super pedos. They'll mutate.
Oh, no. Oh, they'll mutate. Smarter, faster, stronger.
they turn into death claws.
That's Fast X Part 2.
Yeah.
We gotta fight the super pedos.
I don't know why he was like really southern there.
The super pedos.
We gotta fight the super pedos.
I'd love to see some bullshit like kind of Don Toretto punching a pedo in the face and being like,
we don't like super pedos in my family.
Yeah. yeah, so they roll the bomb into the river by doing a very, like, there's not much what I would call fast and furious action in this, but there is a little bit. For example, Dom Toretto, he's like, oh, we gotta get this, he's like, oh, we gotta get this bomb into the river, but Dom, your car won't have enough force to push it. And he's like, I got an idea. And he drives...
with his three brain cells.
Yeah, so he sees a crane doing construction on this bridge he's on. And then he, like, crashes up the side of the bridge to propel him into the air, which crashes... like into the crane, I think.
Yeah, so it's something into connected the, like, to you've the got crane. Like the long end of the crane that's sticking out.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
and
it.
Then you've got the massive concrete block on the other that obviously is like the counterweight. So he just flies the fucking car into the side of the actual long bit of the crane to just hit the thing. Now it is very fast and furious because. As with many of the times in the other films, if he had really done this, even if he had managed to actually pull that off and hit the crane, he'd be fucking dead. The car would have crumpled. Like, he just hits it, and the car goes flying, but it's enough force to make the crane swing around, and then the boulder hits the sort of the concrete counterweight, luckily doesn't just explode there and then. hits the counterweight and then is like redirected and rolls off into the river and then explodes. Still does massive damage. I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. But
the wildest thing about this, the explosion is still huge. And then we see like various news reports from around the world, you know, how like every film does.
Yeah.
And they say they say, like, oh, massive explosion in the Rome near the Vatican. Thankfully, the Vatican was, like, avoided the explosion. And it's like, thankfully, no lives were claimed. And I was like, yeah. Bro, fuck, how?
I know, I love that. Like, that is one thing that, like, about these films, because I fully understand and enjoy...
Wait, 2 secs. I'm just going to open my cold can of Corona.
That's the sound of family.
Coronavirus!
Yeah. You remember how sales of Corona beer dropped because of coronavirus?
Because fucking American people are dumb as shit. Not all American people, but, you know, most. Anyway.
All right.
I'm just going to say it. No, I'm joking. But maybe I'm not. But... what were you fucking saying about the?
Oh, that no one died.
Oh, that nobody died.
Yeah.
It's. I fully understand, like, enjoying the, you know, the crazy ridiculousness of it, and just being like, oh, that's so silly, but like, yeah, that's fucking cool. Like, do it. Yeah, you know, it's. Absolutely ridiculous and impossible, but it's like fun to watch, all that kind of stuff. But for the film, there's elements of it where from like a writing standpoint, where it just feels like they're like, no, we can't have it that kind of our crew, our main like people could ever be seen to have been like involved in the deaths of thousands of innocents or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, oh no, it has to be that they saved the day, they saved everyone, everyone's fine.
And it's very like, this whole like the writing, this is just like such corporate table, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just feels like clinical's the wrong word, because if something's written clinically, it's all like very meticulous and well thought out and planned. This is like meticulously thought out, but it's because they're like like thinking about the wrong things.
I would say it kind of feels, yeah, I think it kind of feels insecure.
The reason I'm going to
say that is because there's the whole thing, and I mean, to be honest, I don't know if it's a rumor or not, because I've not properly researched it, but it's that whole thing where characters like Dwayne Johnson's character and probably Vin Diesel's and whatever, it's this whole thing that, you know, in their contracts, it would be stated that they couldn't be seen to lose like a fight, like a physical fight with someone. Mm. Either something would have to like break them up, or it'd have to end in a draw or something, and they couldn't be like punched more times than they dished out punches and all this kind of stuff that's like so fragile masculinity, kind of fragile ego, kind of like, oh no, but this is my brand, like I'm supposed to be the big strong one, I can't be beaten by them, that's not how that works. And you kind of get like a bit of a sense of it with this, where it's always the case of like, oh, but nobody was hurt, though. These guys, they just saved everyone. I have an everything-proof shield, and you can't hurt me. You know what I mean? It's that kind of deal. Because if you're going to have a villain and set him up to be like, you've never faced anything like this before, then you've got to be like, yeah, he fucking kills a fucking 1,000 people with this massive bomb. If you're setting up a massive bomb, you know what I mean?
He's got to
bomb the Vatican. Have them lose. Have them try to prevent it and lose. They just win in every situation.
If this is the... That's why I mean, like, if this is the end game, or what was it, Infinity War and then end game? Or is it the other way around? Yeah. I always get them mixed up. If this is the Infinity War to your end game, like, as supposedly Vin Diesel has said, then he's like, you've got to end, like you're saying, you've got to end it on something, like, have them lose.
But
in this, which we'll get more into, but the ending of this is just, they, they, they do something, they win, and then he's like, ah, wait a minute, I've got... And then it cuts to credits, and it's just like, oh, don't worry about it, you'll see it in the next one, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean,
it's
like,
just
they...
so hilarious.
I think one thing that probably kind of goes to like serve that point that I made like more is the fact that again, like, big spoilers, almost nobody has actually died in this fucking franchise, like, that, as in, you know, main character wise yeah, that I know that he like lost his old partner and things like that, but
did he
we'll find out. But
well,
like,
we do find out in this, spoilers.
Wait, she's what?
I'll tell you about it later.
Wait, but not Gal Gadot though.
Oh wait, was she his old partner?
No, she wasn't. That's what I'm saying.
Oh right.
Did you think that's who it was?
No. Who does he go to see? He goes to see someone's sister, right?
Yeah, I think that's his. I think that was his old partner's sister, I think.
But doesn't her sister turn up at the end?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, look it up.
I don't think so. But I mean, but regardless, I mean, if she does, then that even matter. That, yeah. But no, let's save that for the fucking part 3 or 4 or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
but no, because you have like, oh god, what's his face? The one who was in Tokyo Drift.
Sung Kang?
Yes. Oh, his character, I can't remember his character.
I have no idea.
But he showed up in, like, what, Fast 9 or something, even though he'd, like, died beforehand, and people were like, oh my god, he's back, even though he was dead before.
Yeah, they're like, how did you get out? I thought you died, and he's like, I didn't. And then that's...
that's it. So he's, I mean, he's in this one. He doesn't do a huge amount in this, but again, zero stakes. You thought he died before. Big emotional play, I'm assuming, and he's not dead. And then what I did see was, which one of my mates showed me, was the scene of his character's partner dying, which is Gal Gadot. So,
oh,
she,
she
like sacrificed herself, kind of like, you know, they're on a runway, and then she kind of sacrifices herself to shoot this guy, and then, you know, fall off this moving plane at like hundreds of miles an hour or whatever, and very, very definitely die. And then at the end of the fucking film, she just shows up in a submarine and stands there like it's a fucking L'Oreal ad, just like, doesn't say anything. She's just like there smiling, like, or maybe she does say a line, I don't know. But, and it's like, oh, so she's alive. But I didn't know who she was at the time. So I was just like, oh, this is just obviously a thing for people to be like, oh, this person's back. And then when I said it to someone, they were like, because he wasn't too fussed about like spoilers.
Yeah.
But he was just like, wait, but she died. And I was like, for fuck's sake.
It was so funny.
Yeah. And he said, he was like, yeah, she 100% died. There's no way.
That's it. That's why it's so good. Because it was so funny. Right. You know what? Fuck it. I can't be asked to talk about the plot anymore.
I think the general overview, Jason Momoa wants to kill Don Toretto because he killed his father, but he wants everybody to suffer first, so he just puts them through a bunch of shit. They're all on the run because the agency are looking for them because they think that they did the Vatican job thing and blew everything up. Mm. They're on the run from them. He steals all their money. Don Toretto is trying to get his kid back. His kid, his kid is with John Cena. Because John Cena goes to like pick him up and save him, and they're trying to like meet up.
I quite liked that stuff.
The like, dynamic, the yeah. Although, yeah, from what I've heard, considering that John Cena was the bad guy of the previous film, he's just done like a full 180 with like his personality and everything.
See, this is
and now it's just John Cena again.
I'm just like, I fucking, like, I loved not having any context to this film. It was so good. Like when Gal Gadot like fucking turns up at the end, it was so funny because it's clearly like meant to mean something to you, and
they leave that pause like, to focus on her, right? Like leave that thing like, for everyone to go wow.
Yeah, yeah, because Charlize Theron was like you don't like my plan? Well, my plan's better than your plan, Michelle Rodriguez. And then she's like, okay, we don't like each other, presumably because... Was Charlize Theron a villain at some point?
So, I think she's been, like, a big bad for a while. I don't know how many films. But she literally shot Don Toretto's previous partner, the mother to his kid, I think. I'm pretty sure it's that way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We saw that in the thing. She shot her in front of Don and in front of his child and made him, like, watch.
Yeah.
So she's, kind of as evil as they come. And then she just is kind of, like, shows up and she's like, hey, what's up? In the near the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
She basically gets, like, her ass kicked by Jason Momoa, who just kind of shows up and he's like, all your men are my men now because I've blackmailed them and all my men are going to kill you. And she barely escapes with her life, goes to Don's house, and it's like, she does the whole, like, he's coming for you and you've never faced anything like this.
And Dom's like, why did you come here? It doesn't make any sense. Like, because she goes like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend and you're my...
No, she doesn't. She just says, the enemy of my enemy is you.
Yeah. Because it's like, because it's the whole enemy and me, my friend. But I was like, but I don't get, like, why? Why are you going there to warn him? You hate both of these people. Who gives a shit if one of them kills the other one?
She could just go vibe and do something else, I guess, right? I don't know. She's just like, oh, this guy's a madman. I'm like, well, he only really wants to kill Don Toretto, and then what happens after that?
Yeah. But, where were we? We've done the plot. Doesn't matter.
Just as a general thing. I mean, it ends with kind of one thing after another of, oh, I planned for this and I planned for that. And then Don keeps beating them all with his car. And then they all drive... We'll get to the specifics of it, but it's left in a cliffhanger where you're like, how could he possibly escape? This guy's about to blow up a dam and fucking flood Don and his kid and kill them. And then, you know, you've got the other stuff working in the background where it's like, ooh, Gal Gadot's popped up to save these other characters who were elsewhere. And these characters are presumed dead because they were in a ship and then it blows up. But you're like, yeah, but they went round the side of the mountain and last time we saw them, they were all running to their cars. So they probably did another fucking drop out of the back of the ship in their cars kind of moment. So, you know, they're not going to be dead. There's no risk. There's no like, it's a false cliffhanger. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, we know that they're not dead,
but it's
there's just no way that they would kill them ever.
But it's such a funny way to end as well. Like, let's get into the...
But we'll get into it. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. Like, I want to talk about the ending because... Right. So this... It was so good that Jason Momoa was like, I planned for this twice. Because... So the end scene is... Right. So... We got to mention that John Cena and Dom's kid go find this magic car in a cave that John Cena's been building. And what it is, it's an old Chevy with two cannons strapped to the side. So they're going to save Dom, or it doesn't matter. They somehow.
I think they were gonna meet him at that place.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then
they had to go on the run because
turns up.
Yeah, they had to go on the run because Jason Momoa was after them.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. But they're driving alongside each other, and they're being chased by lots of Jason Momoa's men. And John Cena is
Momoa
like
Momoa men.
Momoa men.
Momoas.
Mimosas.
Mimosas. Oh, they're being delicious. Chased by a platter of mimosas. spinning through the air.
John Cena's like, hey, 8-year-old child, who's my nephew, technically, I think. Yeah? Yeah, yeah.
They aren't actually supposed to be brothers.
Which is such a wild,
only this film could do that. Just be like, these guys are brothers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so like half brothers or like adopted brothers? And you're like, nah, brothers. 100% brothers. And you're like, sure. Sure. And you're like, look at the muscles. They're clearly from the same people.
Right, if you want Vin Diesel to look massive, why did you cast three of the biggest men on the planet to be in your film alongside you?
Dude,
John Cena, Jason Momoa, and Alan Richards.
Alan Richardson is so fucking ripped in this film. It's insane.
They got him the biggest shirt in the world and he's popping out of it.
It's crazy. Because you think, like, okay, big kind of Hollywood stars who are, like, famous and, like, ripped, like, the rippest of the ripped. You've pretty much got them all in this film, right? Especially,
yeah,
you think
Rock.
Of Jason Momoa from Aquaman. He was, like, jacked to fuck in that film. Yeah. You know, you've got The Rock, literally the dude just gyms all day, and he's just got muscles in places that don't even exist on my body, right? And this guy is just like, boom. Bigger than that. I don't know if he's actually bigger than The Rock. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
He looks like it.
He looks
fucking
it's
insane.
Fucking crazy. It's Chris from Resident Evil 5 levels. Like that guy just has fucking shoulders.
Yeah.
For days. Oh, just absolutely nuts. He's ripped to fuck.
Oh,
anyway,
it's bad. But yeah. Anyway, yeah. So why would you cast the Vin Diesel? I don't get you. But anyway,
because even against men like that, he's still the manliest of them all. Yeah. he still prevails.
So they're driving alongside. John Cena is getting an 8-year-old boy to murder
missionaries.
He's like, hey, kid, fire this car
that
cannon.
That was one of the specific moments where I was like, fuck, I have to remember this for the episode so I could just be like, oh my god, that kid is literally a murderer. Like, an actual serial killer. Like, mass murder. He has murdered... I mean, each of those cars is not going to have one man in it. They're going to have multiple men in it.
Yeah. He's
multiple
murdered
people in those cars. And each time he's just like, jum, jum, boom, fucking blows up like three cars and then high fives John Cena and they're both like, yeah, wow, cannon car, wow. And you're like, you just murdered 16 people.
Oh, but...
Teach him young, I guess.
Yeah, teach him young. So... the cannon car jams, and the kid's like, I'll climb outside this moving vehicle and unjam the cannon. And
one
then...
one little bump in that car, and that kid is fucking gone.
But he's Dom Toretto's son, so he's invincible. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. He would have been, like, holding onto the back of the car, like, his feet lightly skating on the ground, like, skid, skid,
as a baby. 3 weeks old.
And then he's just like pulling himself back up onto the thing and he's already ripped.
Dom Toretto's like their mum's like trying to breastfeed and Dom Toretto's like, no, he drinks this and just hands this young baby their fucking protein shake.
I thought you were gonna say he's like, no, allow me. He feeds him like straight from his own peck. Just pure muscle.
Oh, good.
It's the only way he'll grow.
But, the cannon jams and Jason Momoa nicks the kid off the side of the car. He's just like, pop, and night plucks him off. And,
again, fucking ripped, guys. He just picks up an 8-year-old off the car and he's like, mine.
So they're driving along. Dom's there. as well. They're driving side by side or something, and then Dom they see
that.
Like.
So I think the whole thing with Dom is that because you've got the agency guy who is chasing after Dom initially, and then him and Dom get into a situation where they have to both fight together, and then he's just like, I apologize, and I'm on your side now. And then Dom's like, cool. So the guy gets in like this massive aircraft is like the fucking helicarrier from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, from Marvel. He's flying along and he's like kind of directing Dom where to go. He's like, oh, we've got to go this way. And then he meets up with his son. So it's not like fully bullshit that he just kind of gets there at the same time and he's there with them. But it's like,
yeah.
You know, they just pushed him there with the thing.
Yeah. But so Dom's there driving along. Which is hilarious. I completely forgot that. Yeah, he is in an aircraft carrier because, the guy's like, we gotta set you down over that airfield. And Dom's like,
no, I'm in a car.
And then the guy's like, you're crazy. And Dom reverses out of a plane and lands on two cars, which get completely demolished and crushed. But his Dodge Charger, without a scratch, it's completely fine. His magic Dodge Charger, there yet again.
I love this idea, this thing that they do where, because earlier when he had his car in the beginning and he drove it like flying up into the crane and crashed into the crane, when that car hits the ground, it's fucked. It's so far gone. It's not even just like totaled. It's no longer functional at all. And he just like fucking keying in this and then fucking drives it, carries on driving.
In fairness, that car that he's driving in Rome is not his infamous Dodge Charger. It's a different car.
Sure.
But he still drive it after crashing into a crane.
Yeah. So you get the same kind of thing here where it's like, I just love that kind of thing that they do where they're like, oh, we'll show, you know, the car will take a little bit of damage. You know, it'll get some scrapes and like maybe a little bit of the bumper comes off or something. You know, the hood's a little misaligned and a bit bent. Yeah. But otherwise, you know,
That's his car.
That's his car. It's tough. He'll survive. And you're like, he just dropped like 50 feet out of a plane onto two cars and blew them up. Brilliant.
This is great, right? So, there's a roadblock, there's cars coming towards them, and they're like, we can't make it. And then John Cena does the thing.
Before you get to that kind of big moment, Don does one other very specific thing with his car that is also incredibly ridiculous, which was in the trailers and stuff, where because he's like, still somehow avoiding all of this kind of stuff going on, Jace Momoa is like, oh, well, this guy's super good, but you can't get dodge this. And then fucking spawns two helicopters in.
No. That's after. Don't worry, I've got this.
Wait, really? Is that after?
Yeah, this is why it's hilarious. It's after. Right.
Oh, shit. Okay, sorry. I'm jumping. Right. I'm not jumping ahead.
Yeah. Look, I've got this, man. I've got my notepad. So there's a roadblock, and John Cena is looking at Dom. You know how they do, moving at 100 miles an hour and unable to see each other's faces and tell what they're saying. And he's like,
I'm not looking at the road.
Yeah. He's like, I got this. And Dom's like, no, don't do it. And John Cena's cannon car, just fucking the cannons turn downwards, and then he presses the trigger. The cannons fire into the ground to propel him, do a flip in the air, and land on the cars coming towards them in a big fiery pit of flame, and sacrifices himself, although you know that he'll be back in the next film completely fine.
Yeah. It'll be like, oh, he jumped out.
Yeah.
Where? How? When? What do you mean?
You mean onto the dam which exploded? Yeah, sure. Yeah. But so he does that and Dom's like, not fussed. He's like, oh. And then just carries on getting his son. And I was like, damn, right. I mean, you could have just shot those cars with your cannons, but fine. Yeah. What? Sure. Okay. I don't know why. Like, they would seem to be working fine beforehand, but this time he was like, no.
Yeah, the kid went through all that trouble of unjamming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Thing. And he was like, I'm going to do a gamer move.
Right. And then there, and then.
Sorry.
Then we get the helicopter thing, which is significant because it's how he gets his son back in his car.
Right.
But yes.
Yeah, of course.
So, well, I'll let you explain the helicopter bit.
Oh, he's too kind. He's too good to me.
Because I can tell you, I can hear you frothing at the mouth.
So, you have two fucking helicopters that are like manned with like, I think they're trying to shoot at him or whatever, but there's two helicopters that are chasing him down. They fire two fucking massive harpoons into the sides of his car, right? Which, again, like, I mean, come on, they're just going to take the doors off, whatever, but fine. Two harpoons in his car, and they're kind of... It's like these two helicopters are only just getting enough, like, pull on it so that the back of the car is kind of lifting, barely. Like... It's like lifting a bit, like enough to get the wheels off the ground, but then they kind of slam back down again because they're not getting a consistent kind of pull on it or whatever. And then,
which by the way, is just fucking
it's just so
they're
ridiculous.
Both two helicopters, you know, enough thrust to lift a helicopter, which cannot lift like half the weight of a back of a car. Like, how heavy is Dom's charger? It's just unbelievable.
It's just filled with NOS, that's why.
Yeah, yeah. The world's strongest man.
Yeah, exactly. The weight and the burden of being the rock of the family.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're on the back of the car, and then Jason Momoa was like, hoo-hoo-hoo, I got you now, Dom. I don't know what they were planning to do with him with that, but I guess just... keep holding back so that Jason can escape with his kid, maybe. But anyway, yeah, so they're on the car, and what he decides to do, because they're on, like, the freeway or whatever, where they're the kind of the roads that are, like, elevated up, and they kind of cross underneath each other and over each other and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what he decides to do is wait until the car hits the ground again as it's kind of bobbing up and down. And as soon as the back wheels hit the ground, he fucking hits the NOS, gets a little skit on the little canister, and then flicks the switch, hits the NOS so that the car gets an extra boost of speed, and boosts himself off of the edge of that bit of the freeway onto another road. And so him doing that has the force that... as the car goes down, it pulls the other two helicopters towards each other, and their rotor blades get all entangled, and then they get fucked up, and then they both, like, crash and explode and all this kind of stuff. And it's funny because you're watching it, and you're kind of just like, on the one hand, you're like, yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, he dropped the car down, and that's what it would do. It would pull the two together. It's got the big force, and that would pull that downwards, so then they would get pulled together. That makes sense. But then you're like, none of this actually makes sense, though.
Yeah.
But then not only does he do that...
With this is the bit that I was like the helicopters and John Cena flipping in the air is one thing, but I was like... Oh my god, they've really taken this to a new level.
Yeah, they were like, no, that's not enough. We're not done. Yeah. In the fucking boardroom where they were pitching this shit, they were like, oh yeah, that could be a really cool shot, him, you know, pulling the helicopters together and they explode and everything. And he's like, no, wait, I'm not done. So So not only does he do that, but they are still attached, these two, the bodies of these helicopters that are on fire. And he decides to start fucking drifting his car and shit and doing all these fucking moves so that he's using the helicopters on the ends of the rope in a kind of similar fashion as he did with the safe beforehand that we've seen already, and just use them as these fucking like a mace on the end of a fucking chain to just smash and bash and crash all the cars around him. And then he even uses it to hit the car that Jason Momoa is in with his own child. But, like, I guess he could just calculate this fucking helicopter mace well enough so that it didn't kill them both outright. No,
it's such a well precise, like, little tap that it just... just taps them just enough so that Dom and Jason Momoa's car can spin.
Oh, they're like spinning in tandem
in unison.
Yeah.
And then
he says the quote to his kid, right?
Oh yeah.
It's something about what he told him in the beginning of the film where he's like, you know, you can't be afraid of taking the wheel all the time. Sometimes you just gotta let it go and fly.
he's literally to his son,
I was literal about us being able to magically fly. We can do that because we are the Toretto's.
Because the cars are spinning in unison with their doors open and the kid just fucking jumps out of the car and flies across. And it's not like these are two moving cars spinning. Like, they're close. They're not right next to each other. Like, they're not that close. I'd say there's a good 20 feet between the two. And the kid just, like, literally flies with his... It's like he's flying because he's got his fucking arms and legs, like, spread out. Like he's flying, he's jumping head first into the car, and it's just like, whoosh. It's so good. And then,
Lands in the other car, and Dom catches him, and then they drive off.
Well, they don't drive off because this is where we get like, this is how genius this film is because then we get the first instance of Jason Momoa going, like, he's been scuppered. Jason Momoa is like off to the side, and Dom and his son are like on a they're on the top of a dam.
Oh, and, the whole thing that happens with the car is still on the freeway because you get the guy that's in the plane that was telling Dom where to go before. The idea is he's trying to pick Dom and his kid up. So you're only one mile out. You've got to keep going. And he drives to that location, but then he has to stop when they get to on the dam.
So he drives off at Jason
Momoa.
Are you
even a real Fast and Furious fan?
Yes, because we have to get into the nitty-gritty of how this film makes sense. Because it wouldn't make sense for him just to be on the dam. We needed to mention
he's got
that,
to but, drive there. It's a film about driving.
is it? But he goes... So he's on the dam, and then Jason Momoa's on like a vantage point or something now, magically. Doesn't matter.
He does a lot of magic shit in this.
He does some, because he's like a fucking wizard. He zaps across the world and knows the future. Because he's like, he does the reveal that, oh, that agency guy, he's evil. And he's against you. And I was like...
He's always been
against you. I don't get, like, what the twist is. He's been friends with you for 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, because is he in any of the other films? Do you know?
No idea. Couldn't tell you.
Because I don't know whether he's kind of introduced as... He might have been a background character in the other ones. I don't know.
Well,
but the idea is that he took over...
Well, I didn't notice this, but you can see him... But that's kind of like I found this out after. But you can see him in the... There's a scene right, you know, at when they rip out the bank vault and Jason Momoa stood, like,
yeah,
looking through the hole. You can actually see... Alan Richson. Yeah, you can see him like sat in the office if you're like paying close attention.
Yeah,
And I don't know. I'm like, I probably just put that in this time. I have no idea. I have no idea if he's in like the other films or not.
No, I probably not. Then I don't know. It is just kind of weird. I think the whole point is, like, it was almost in a meta kind of way to shock. I mean, it wasn't really a shock, but to do the whole thing of, like, somebody's always after Dom, and then Dom shows him that he's just a family man. And then they eventually are like, oh, Dom, I've seen that you are a good man, and I will help you in your quest. And then they, like, become friends and become... It's like a cult, really, isn't it? They become part of the family, quote unquote. but with this guy, he's like, oh, I'm going to help you, Dom, and whatever. And then it turns out that he's like, actually, no. Because we see, like, the plane. And I was confused because I thought it was all one plane. But there's two planes. There's the plane that the guy was flying originally that he dropped Dom off and he was going to pick him up again. And then there's a different plane that the rest of the family are in, like Ludacris and all of those guys, right? So they're flying to meet Dom, and they're like, we're almost here, Dom. We'll meet you around the thing. And then a missile goes in and fucking hits the engine, and then they start kind of, you know, they start falling out of the sky and go around the side of a mountain to crash, and then... In that shot, you kind of see that the absolute fucking huge monstrosity of a man, which is the agency guy, and he stood there. But it's so funny that I just always remember the expression he has on his face. He looks like a video game villain, the way he just kind of slowly turns around after eyebrows. Having blown them up. And he's like, and I'm like, why are you like that? But yeah, it is funny, isn't it? Because it's like... Haha, not everybody's part of your little family, Dom. And he's like, dude, the guy was chasing me like 5 minutes ago, and now he decided to help me for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just don't get the move. But getting to it, we're getting sidetracked, because this is the greatest cinematic experience I've ever seen.
I think you mean we were taking the scenic route.
Yes.
As this film is all about cars and the drive.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have you looked these up beforehand? Because you've done a lot. Oh,
very I'm just riffing them off.
You cross enough of one off your list. Right. Uh-huh. So he's like, oh, Alan Richson, he's bad, and he surprise, surprise, and Dob's like, yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that, and then Jason Momoa's like, I've always been two steps ahead of you from the start. This is all planned. And I was like, how? Like, so you're telling me... So, because he's like, oh, the Rome thing was all like the plot. Like, why do you think I did that? To split you all up to get you to this point. And I was like, but that would mean that you planned Dom Toretto to get... Because Jason Momoa says something about, like, it was all to, like, punish you and, like you were saying, like, or, like, punish
yeah,
you
like,
and split up your
never
family.
Never accept death when suffering is over, or whatever, like, make him suffer first.
Because then he says at the end, he's, like, saying something about, oh, you shot my, like, you made me watch my dad die or some shit like that. Like, you killed my dad, basically. And he's like, now... I'm going to kill you and your son. So I was like, so that means that Jason Momoa planned to to get John Cena to take Dom's son, then to nick Dom's son off of Jason, off of John Cena, then to get two helicopters so that Dom could spin them around like a fucking, like he's playing Conkers with his car.
Yeah.
To gently tap your car to then spin it around so that his son could jump back out of your car into his car, then drive away so that he escaped, so that you could get Alan Richardson to tell Dom to be like, all right, meet me on this dam, specifically this dam. You know, Alan Richardson, who earlier got shot by a sniper that you had him shot. Like, what if he'd fucking missed? What if you'd accidentally shot Alan Richardson in the head? You'd be like, fuck, I mean, shit. That was the whole point of the play. Doesn't matter. We'll just assume that.
Yeah.
Like, so you've planned him, and then he's like, and it's all come down to this. And then we see this in the trailer, but it's two it's two oil tankers driving head on to each other with Dom in the middle. So they're gonna like crash into Dom and his son whilst they're stood there. And then Dom Toretto says quite possibly the greatest line in cinematic history. And he's like, you planned everything? Well, you made one mistake. You never took my car.
it's honestly one of the fucking dumbest lines in that film.
It's so good. And that's hard to do, man. That is hard to do.
He's like, you took my family. You took everything from me.
And his son's there like, thanks, Dad. And he's
but you didn't take my car.
Yeah. So So then Dom and his son drive off the side of a dam. The two oil tankers crash and explode whilst he's driving down the dam.
Why did he wait so long as well? He could have done it before.
Yeah, yeah.
He waited until they were super close to ensure maximum danger for him and his son.
It's so that he could look the coolest, because he's like,
I'm going to time this right so I can drive out of the explosion dramatically.
That is very true. Also, the dam itself that people are that you could drive across is at least three times as wide as the width, not the length, the width of these tankers. 100%.
He could just driven
around one of them. If he drives straight ahead at one of them, Jason Momoa has a 50-50% chance of knowing which way he's going to turn.
Yeah.
And he can just faint him and do whatever and just do his, like, fucking bullshit stuff and drive around one of them.
Dom's the greatest driver in the world. Like, easy he'd be able to drive around it. But no, he was like, that wouldn't be as cool. So he drives off the side. They drive down the dam. There's, like...
That's right. They drive down the dam.
Yeah, you heard me right. They're driving down the side of the dam. They crash into the water. The car's wrecked, finally, after everything has been through. They come out of the water and they're like, whoa, we got away with it. And then, we see, like, Jason Momoa's watching them and he's like,
but the thing is, Dom, I really did think of everything.
And then you see, that he's got like hundreds of C4 charges on the side of the dam, which miraculously weren't damaged or set off by the massive oil tankers exploding on the top of the dam. I was like, so you planned for Dom to steal Dom's kid, and then Dom steals back the kid using a helicopter and miraculously spinning around your car, to then for him to get on the dam, in that specific place so that you could explode two oil tankers trying to kill him, but you knew that wouldn't work because this is Dom Toretto, and you knew that he would, rather than think of something else, drive off the side of the dam, survive, have his car wrecked, so that you could be like, I thought of everything. I'm gonna blow up the dam. And I was like, this guy is just, he's either from the future or he's a wizard, because it's just crazy.
I mean, I took
and then it ends.
Yeah, and that's how it ends. That's the cliffhanger.
That's the cliffhanger. Yeah, it's gonna blow up, and they're just looking at the dam like, I knew they'd do it as well. I saw it coming. Like, as soon as they did the whole like showing that happening, the other guys, you think they've blown up down the like the plane's blown up, and then you've got the other side of because there's this whole other thing where Don Toretto's partner, Letty, she gets kidnapped, she gets kind of arrested at the Rome thing, but then she gets put in this like, you know, black ops unlisted site in Antarctica with Charlize Theron's character, and they both escape but fight a bit first and then escape, and then they're walking through the fucking tundra, and then a fucking submarine just pops out of the ice, and Gal Gadot does her big pose, and then it's like, well, credits. Something's happening with this, and then it cuts back, and it's like the credits and whatever. I mean, what I was thinking with Jason Momoa, I mean, obviously it is one of those like bullshit things where it's like, how did he have all of these things like already planned? But I assumed that, like, with him and his kid in the car and stuff, I assume, because of the way Jason Momoa's character is, I assume that he's just like rolling with whatever's going on. You know what I mean? So he's like, oh, I was going to take his kid. Maybe he was going to put the kid on the dam and blow it up or something. Or like, have Dom there and then throw his kid off the dam in front of him or something like that. But then he's like, well, I'm just going to blow them up then. And then, I mean, obviously having all the explosives on the dam and stuff, it's just
stupid. It doesn't just really stupid. Matter.
Well, just blow the dam up while they're on it. Don't do the trucks thing. But it's just,
it's just so insane.
Obviously we're picking out like the dumb stuff that doesn't make sense. Not that it's like subtle, because it's very, very like kind of surface level. But obviously the whole point is that like, we want a big explosion that they drive away from. So this is how it goes.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, look, just a few very quick points, because we've gone for long enough, I think. But there's a bit...
We'll do a part two and a part three.
I could easily do a part two. There's so much to talk about this film. I've been hyped to talk about it ever since I watched it. But like going back to the fucking Michelle Rodriguez, Charlize Theron. Michelle Rodriguez gets arrested, and then Brie Larson, who works for the agency, but she's a good one, I think.
I don't know if she's always been a good one, but she's the daughter of
Mr.
Nobody, who is like the original leader of the thing, but he's disappeared. So that's probably going to come back in the second one.
Yeah, yeah. But so she's like, because before this, something else I want to mention is Dom's talking to Brie Larson, and he's like, "You gotta get her out of there," and she's like, but that's impossible. And then he hands her...
Oh, talking about Letty, yeah.
He's like, you got to get Letty out of there. And Brie Larson's like, that's impossible. And then Dom takes off his necklace and hands it to Brie Larson and then says, nothing's impossible. And obviously, for everyone else in the cinema, that was significant. But for you and me, that was just like meant nothing. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
She's like, you see what? Him like get that necklace out at some point earlier in the film.
I think,
and it's like, you know, so I know what it is. I think it's the necklace that his partner wore. His old partner, not his new one. I think it was hers, I think, originally. So it's just like he keeps it on him as a reminder or whatever. But like, you get the idea that it's something of significance.
Yeah, yeah.
He picks it up earlier. But the fact that he's just like gives it to her, yeah.
Like, and then I was like, I guess she also knows what that means. Because like,
yeah, she'd have to.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, what? Which made me laugh. But
she's like, is this payment? Are you paying me?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't get what the plan is, because to get her in the room with Charlize Theron and then they do their fight and whatever, she's like, she sneaks into, or she doesn't sneak in, she's like pretending to go speak to Letty, but secretly she's sending a message from Dom or whatever.
not so secretly, but we'll talk.
Yeah. But she's like,
I'm trying to get you out of here, kind of thing.
I'm trying to get you out of here. And then she's like, how are you going to do that? And she's like, trust me. And then she just, like, stabs her with... Is it the necklace she stabs her with?
No, she has, like, some, you know...
It's something.
It's, like, in her belt buckle. She's got a little tiny dagger or something, you know.
Yeah. So she just, like, stabs her in the shoulder. And then that... And then she's like... And then, obviously, Letty's like... what the fuck, and like wrestling her or whatever, and then the guards come and get her. And then the next we see her, she's in the facility next to Charlize Theron. And so I was like, what?
No, because she's, I don't get the that's plan. Kind of like the medical bay or something, because when we see her, she's got these like high-tech lasers that are like fixing up her wound. So I think the whole point was she hurts her so that she has to go to the medical thing where she's also maybe organized for Charlize Theron to go, or maybe she knows she's there already, probably because she was attacked before. But I don't know if we saw...
I just don't get
what happened. No, thing is, I don't know if we saw what how Charlize Theron got there in the first place.
No, we don't. She's just there.
She's just there, right? Because the last we saw
earlier
of her,
she gets arrested from Dom's house, so the assumption is they arrest her and
So look, the connections are there, but you just have to kind of assume a lot of stuff. So yes, you're right, she gets arrested because it's the agency guy that they then speak to when she's arrested who's like, Rome job, we don't have a Rome job, and he's like, oh no. And then so she gets arrested, so then I guess maybe they assume maybe Brie Larson had like, again, you just have to make jumps and assumptions, but I'm assuming she's like, okay, well, she's going to be in the medical bay because she got like shot up and or stabbed up and she's like really worse for wear, so I'll get Letty in the same room. And I don't know, again, maybe we are to assume that Charlize Theron had already spoken to her and had a plan to escape.
That's
because
what I mean.
She was there, but she obviously had this whole thing with the submarine and stuff, which I think was something she had before. I think she had the submarine stuff before, but like, so maybe she just knew that she was like, she'll break out.
What I mean. It's just so she's just like, the plan is Charlize Theron's gonna break out. So just stick with her. Like,
yeah,
I assume she's going to break out. Yeah. It was just so funny. Because it was like, it's so funny when she's like, Letty's like, oh, we'll do my plan. And she climbs out a tube and she realizes she's in Antarctica. So she's just like, well, fuck that. And then Charlize Theron is like, that's what I'm saying. Let's do my plan. And then it was just like, her plan is that a submarine fucking shows up. You're like, what? Where has this come from?
Yeah.
It's so good.
And they have this fighting scene beforehand where they're beating the shit out of each other once, you know, all the guards are beaten up or whatever. They throw themselves through so many panes of glass. And they're just rolling around in the glass. And it's just, it's a film thing that has happened in a lot of films, but like, they're perfectly fine. Even in other films, somebody goes flying through a glass pane and they're like, there's glass on the floor and they're lying on the floor. They'll have some like small cuts and stuff on them because they're like, yeah, glass. In this, they're fine. They just get up and they're like, oh God, oh, all right, let's carry on fighting. And I'm like, but there's glass all over the floor. You're rolling in it and putting your hands down on the glass. You will be cut to ribbons. Absolute blood everywhere. But, I mean, you know, it's whatever. One mention that I wanted to slot in as well is a point when Dom thinks that they like do a bit of fucking mastermind work. And again, it's the whole like Jason Momoa is 10 steps ahead somehow. So he figures out it's not the most bright thing. It's kind of funny that they think it's like an ace in the hole, but he figures out that the police station that they did the bank heist from in before where, Jason Momoa's dad was killed and all this kind of stuff. It's been like this old unlisted or this old building that's been abandoned, but it's still under Jason Momoa's character's name. So he's like, he must be working from there. So he goes there and then it's just this kind of madhouse kind of thing of pictures of him and everyone. And Jason Momoa
it's
calls him
clips
and it's like
from all the other films.
Yeah, it literally, like, yeah, they literally just get clips from the films. Yeah. Wait, Jason Momoa was the cameraman the whole time.
He's Justin Lin.
Dude, it's so smart. They really pulled it all together. but yeah, so he calls him up and he's like, ha ha ha, you're in the wrong place, Batman. and kind of says some shit or whatever. But then Dom Toretto says a fucking quote that is just so amazing. Because he's just, I can't remember the first bit. But he's just like, you got without this, you got no honor, and without honor, you got no family. It's like, what? What does that mean? How does that correlate or make sense? It's so stupid.
Good. It's so good. Oh. Like, right, real quick. I mean, yeah. I got to fucking go cook dinner. But real quick. There's like. Quick fire round.
The after credits.
There's a bit where John Cena is watching Minions, which I thought was funny.
The
plane. There's the bit where he's talking to his ex-wife's sister in Brazil, and because we had no context for who these people were, it was really funny because she's like. Oh, she's dead, and I was the bad sister, she was the good sister. And I'm like, I don't really know who you're talking about, to be honest. And then he's like, that's when he works out where what the prison is. And she goes, I'm coming with you. And I was like, yeah, but why? Like, you barely know each other. In my context, you've just met on this race trip. And then he's like, no. I need you to stay safe. And I was like, again, why? Who is it? Yeah. I don't know who she is. So funny. And then the last thing I wanted to say was, so right at the start, also Jason Statham is in this. He just shows up and has a fight with Sun Kang.
Yeah, I think they're priming the pistol for him to be in the next one again.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Because he's just so like, I've got to go save me mum.
Yeah, he's like,
That's literally
it. He's just like,
oh, I've got you some cars. I'll meet you in the next film. I've got to go do the Meg 2.
Just like goes off.
I've got to go save me mum and punch two sharks in the face. This time there's two of the Megs and they're in a trench.
There's actually three.
Something.
There's three of the Megs.
What?
I'm pretty sure it's three because there were two in the previous one.
Oh man, I cannot wait to talk about
it. I'm pretty sure, but I remember it being there being a shot where you see three fins.
Oh, yes.
So I'm pretty sure there's three. Yes. Three of the Megs.
Bloody hell, there's three of the Megs.
So what? They're going to do a third one and make there five or something? Just 20 Megs?
No, there's just one. It makes no sense. The third one, there's half of a Meg.
Yeah.
This one's just a shark. I got tired of hunting megalodons because they're all gone. So now I hunt normal sharks.
They're like
tiger shark. There he is.
He just gets a call from like the what are they called? The sea police. What are they called?
What, the Coast Guard? I think.
Yeah, thanks.
The sea police.
Yeah. He gets a call from the super police. They're like, oh, some guy's been bitten by a whale shark, like, which is kind of weird because whale sharks are generally pretty tame. So, I mean, if you want, you've killed all the Megs, so you've got nothing to do. He's like, I'm on my way.
Say no more. Got to bloody fight this bloody Meg.
And they're like, well, it's not a Meg. It's a whale shark. You know, they're quite cool.
I'm going to bloody kill this Meg. Meg's a Meg.
But yeah,
my throat hurts.
Also, the last thing I'll say, I'm going to put my notebook away.
Is it the after credits?
No. Oh, the second last thing I'll say is that John Cena turns. So the kid's in the house with someone, a family member.
It's his sister. It's John Cena's sister.
Ah, and John Cena's sister as well.
Yep, 100%. No questions.
Yeah. And so the agency or Jason Momoa or someone comes looking for the kid and
it's the
girl.
Agency. Yeah.
They do a big punch up in the house and then John Cena turns up. And John Cena goes like, we planned for this. Dom said we're all going to meet at this private bunker that comes in later in the film. So I'll take the kid. And then the girl's, his sister's like, cool. You take him, I'll go elsewhere. And we never see her again. I was like,
that's
isn't
true.
The whole point, like, that they're all meeting up at the bunker? Like, if something to... They literally keep saying, if shit goes down, we meet at the secret bunker.
And nobody
where is
goes
she
there.
Going? Nobody goes there.
She thought the secret bunker was just, like, the basement. So she's been sat for the whole film in the basement, like, twiddling her thumbs, like, man, they're really taking a time. I thought he was, like, just getting the kid from the other room and bringing him in here.
But, so, the end credits scene is the greatest thing ever. Where it's a big, muscly agent guy with a balaclava on. You can't see his head. And you're like, well, I wonder who this could be. I'll take a guess because he's got the Rock's tattoos on his arms. And yeah, so he's going through a building and then he gets a call on his mobile or whatever. And then he takes off his balaclava and it's the Rock. And Jason Momoa is like, by the way, I'm going to kill Dom, but you actually shot my dad when he was most likely going to die anyway. But you
when he was
shot
like
him.
Crawling out of the car. Yeah.
Yeah. So also I'm killing you, by the way. I thought that was kind of clear. I was going to kill the whole of Dom's family. So by extension, you anyway. But I just wanted to call you and let you know that specifically I'm angry at you. And then the Rock's like, I ain't easy. I ain't hard to find. And then like crushes the phone or whatever. And I was like,
crushes the phone in his hand. Like the most, you know, manly, like, yeah, I'm going to crush this pink phone in my hands.
That I and we spoke about this this last week, or was it next week?
Because this will come out. Before so next week's episode we recorded before this one because of when Fast was coming out. Yeah. So next week last week for us.
Yeah, yeah. But he was like, we've spoken about how it was funny because A, it's the whole drama between Vin Diesel and The Rock, and that we didn't know The Rock was in these films anyway.
Yeah,
so I was like, I mean, what? He's in this? Okay, big reveal. But I will like cite our favorite podcast, The Weekly Planet. They did make a very good point that that's only significant if you are versed in the drama between The Rock and Vin Diesel. Like, if you're just a standard moviegoer, you've seen all the films, but you're not that versed, you'd just be like, oh, that's a Rock. I guess he just wasn't in this one. Like, you'd have no context for him not being in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
But yeah, anyway, bad film, good.
I mean, you know what? The thing is, I had fun with it because it was just so unbelievable and ridiculous. But I had fun with it, and it made me want to watch the other ones.
Yeah.
And I know definitely. That, like, people have said that, in terms of the films actually being good, that, like, Tokyo Drift is like, the best, or at least one of the best.
Really? I've heard that 5 is the best. That's what I
mean, know. Who knows? Different pit. I guess I'll just have to watch them all. But, yeah, so it does make me want to watch them all. But it is just that there is that small element where I'm like, I just hate that thing where it's just so hollow because they're just like, you know, you've never raised anything like this. This is the biggest, baddest, craziest thing. Oh my God, he's going to do all this crazy stuff. Oh, but you escaped again and everybody's yeah. fine. And
now they're part of your family. They've decided. Yeah.
And it's just kind of this thing where it's like, oh, don't worry. They have an everything proof shield. And even if you think they're dead, they're not dead. And even if he has some big plan that you can't get out of, they just do it anyway. And you're like, there's never any stakes, or I don't feel like, oh shit. Oh fuck. What are they going to do? Like, how are they going to get out of this? It's literally just mindless. Like, I'm driving my car. And it is fun, but I do think, like, they would have benefited probably as a series. I don't know the whole rest of it, because, again, by bringing these characters back, they've now taken away from the impact of a character having died as an emotional kind of impactful point in a previous movie.
Yeah.
So,
stakes anymore.
You know, if they actually included some of that and really, you know, Jason Momoa, oh, he just killed 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people in the Vatican City, then, oh shit, there are actually some stakes. People are actually dying. You know, you've got a pretty diverse family. Kill some of them. Just kill them. Just do
There's
it.
There's so many
They're
of
not going
to
be around forever.
To the family, yeah.
Yeah. He'll get more. Yeah, he'll just pick them up.
Yeah.
Pick him up in his car.
Look, I would say that this hot take, right, this is not a great film. This is not a good film. I think the review is too
as a
early
film,
to give.
No.
Yeah. It's too early to give the ratings because I don't mean anything right now. But, like, I would have to say bad film good because this was quite possibly the best movie going experience I've ever had.
Wow.
I was laughing my fucking ass off. It was an empty cinema.
Yeah.
It was just me and my partner and another couple, like, at the other end of the screen. And we were just having the fucking best time. It was so funny. Like, and it ended and I was like, man, I cannot wait for the next one. And, like, I know for a fact that if I had way more context for any of that, I would not have enjoyed it as much. Because we went in blind, we had no idea what the fuck was going on. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, I hope me giving you context for things doesn't now ruin your next viewing of the second part.
Nope, because I will forget.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter, because they do the thing of him handing her Brie Larson the necklace. Like, it's like the minute details that mean nothing to me. So it's like, it's just him handing her a necklace. And it's just so fun, because it's just like, they know it's meant to be a poignant thing, so they linger on it as well. And you're like, I don't get, it's just a necklace. It's so good.
And also the fact that then when she goes to Letty and she is like, I'm going to break you out. And Letty's like, well, how do I know that you're actually going to do it? She holds out the necklace to be like, trust me.
Yeah!
Because she's like, oh, I've disabled the audio so they can't hear us.
But this,
and then shows her the necklace. So then when they look through the cameras later on, they're like, huh, she's showing her a necklace. Isn't that weird?
Oh, stop.
Dumb.
But yeah. Right, look, this has been a long one, so just quickly.
My fucking voice.
Thank you for listening. If you want to keep us up to date, we're on Instagram and TikTok.
If you want to keep us up to date, because honestly, we need us it.
To fuck's sake. Every time. Batfulgood, all one word. You could give us an email, batfulgood@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, give us a 5-star review. That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. But as always, we will end with...
Family.
AI Wars, baby. It's Inspirable 5, Image Flip 4. I'm not going to explain what this is because it's too long. So, yeah. It's in true spirit of watching Fast X without any context of the other films, I'm not going to explain what AI Wars is. So, I'll go first because yours seems better than mine.
Oh my god, yeah.
So mine is the Yoda meme. Back at it again with Yoda. It's
oh yeah.
The gift that keeps giving. It's just Yoda saying to me,
"Bitch, what you think? I can hear you with my girlfriend."
Bitch, what you think? I can hear you with my girlfriend.
Damn, Yoda's getting cucked.
Yeah.
Cuck Yoda.
I can fucking hear you with my girlfriend in the other room, man. Yeah.
All right. For mine, I have to take a little sip of water because it is on a all black background, white writing, and one sentence that is in all capitals and red. And I will say that one louder so you know which one it is. It is a wall of text. So I'm just going to... I haven't pre-read, like, all of it. The red text is enough. So I'm just going to see if I can get through this. Hang on. I nearly inhaled that, Jesus. All right. Show your support for your children while they are rioting. Keep your back straight with your intestines crooked. Be ashamed of your intestines. Dance around with your hands on your back. Sell drugs to your parents when they are doing their thing. Scare individuals that are cold. Chase individuals who are alienating. Sacrifice a gerbil in front of a live audience. Stand upright with a smile on your face. Don't be embarrassed about your fingers. Compare yourself to a celebrity. Show some skin during sex. Walk around like a moron. Bother individuals who want the best for you. Dance around with your hands on your scrotum. Never laugh at a friend if you randomly run into one. Strive for what's hazardous, not what's correct. Sacrifice a gerbil before going to work. What is it with gerbils?
Gerbils,
scare people,
man.
Whatever you can. Fantasize, or at least don't shut the fuck up. Hunch forwards and straighten up your legs when you're depressed. Throw rocks at people who don't like you. Don't cheer people you don't know when they are at the loo. Introduce yourself as an enemy. Compare yourself to someone who has something interesting to say, not an enemy. Make stuff up, or at least don't spread rumors. Don't hug a vermin when you see one on the street. Be obnoxious towards people who don't have souls. Try to mate with a colleague when you randomly run into one on the street. Don't compare yourself to someone with friends. Dance around and straighten up your nose.
All right,
dance
all
around and be cheery.
Right.
I'm nearly there.
He's already dead.
Dance around and be cheery as though you have friends. Imitate a nerd when you encounter one on the street. Dance around with a smile on your face. Say exactly what you'll think. And then it literally carries on, but it's cut off.
Jesus, it
says, like, say
Christ.
What you're thinking.
Look,
or at
no,
least don't
stop.
Say
stop before I take your point
sense.
Away.
Desire Watts. That's it. I saw this wall of text. I didn't take the time to read through it. I just saw, and I'll send it to you. I just saw in the middle of it, in
dance
red,
around
dance around.
Yeah, you really
with your hands on your scrotum. And then just seeing the beginning bit saying about intestines and shit, I was like, perfect. I'm just gonna
didn't even need the rest of it. Didn't need the rest of it.
Oh god.
Yeah, alright. 6-4. Well done.
Oh, Inspirobot just coming in clutch.
Look, bitch, what you think? I could hear you with your girlfriend.
That was good.
These are all good. It's just Inspirobot knows when it's about to be beat. It's fucking wild. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening. And remember,
family means everything. Family. Make sure you got honor, because otherwise you can't have any family. Take it from me, Don Toretto. I'm Tom Toretto. I'm going to drive off a cliff. It's in the family.
You good? You done?
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.